We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
What's up, Virtually Limitless entrepreneurs? It's your man here, Trey Carmichael, coming at you with another episode of the Virtually Limitless podcast. And today I'm coming at you off my man, Michael Burt. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what you do and why you do it for the people who haven't heard of you, my man?
Well, I consider myself the number one activator of prey drive in the world. Prey drive is an instinct to see something with the eyes or in the mind and have the persistence and intensity to pursue it. So I coach about 600 to 700 small business owners a month. I coach some of the top performance people in the world, sales professionals, executives. And I spent a decade of my life as a championship women's basketball coach, really becoming an authority on how to build high prey drive cultures.
Awesome, man. So I know that you've kind of been in leadership roles for a very long time. Can you give us like a broad, like 30,000 foot view of your story and where you came from and all that, my man?
Yeah, I started coaching. I grew up in a small town in Tennessee. I found my voice very early in life at the age of 15 when I was coaching junior pro basketball. I knew I wanted to coach. I pursued a career. So all through college, I was coaching. I was the youngest head coach in the state of Tennessee at the second largest high school. Took me 10 years to build a national championship program. And along the way, I started writing books about how to engineer people to win, how to build competitive intelligence, how to win, man, just how to win in the world. And so people started asking me to speak at their events. And then people started asking me to coach their teams and their companies. And then people started paying me more in an hour than I was making in a month. So at 31 years old, after winning a championship, I retired. And I've spent the last 13 years of my life building a multi-million dollar coaching company. We speak, we coach, we train, we lead. I'm now opening greatness factories around the country, which are unique destination locations with the combined coaching and intentional collaboration. And we're just trying to make it big one day, man. That's our goal.
Awesome, man. It sure seems like y'all made it big at this point already.
Well, it's all relative, right? I mean, to the person who's just trying to write their first book, I'm on book number 17, to the person trying to get their first speaking engagement, it's all relative. In comparison to some people, they're doing it bigger than we are, but there's no shortage of effort on our part. We wake up every day and try to be, you know, be as good as we can be, and we try to help as many people as we can help.
Absolutely, man. Can I ask you what the ultimate goal is out of all of it?
The ultimate goal for me is to be a national and international thought leader. I was deeply affected by a guy named Dr. Stephen Covey, who wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, impacted millions of people, sold 30 million books, built a $200-300 million coaching company. I mean, at the end of the day, that's where I'm trying to get to.
Awesome, man. So you mentioned inner engineering. Can you tell me a little bit about what that is and how you do that?
I believe that people are made up of four parts: a body that's physical, a mind that's mental, a heart that's emotional, a spirit that's spiritual. Each of those parts produce different needs, different intelligences, different capacities, different dimensions. The way to inner engineer a person is to master the ability to touch all four parts of their nature. So you have activated their prey drive in every part. Therefore, they are playing at a very high frequency. They are operating at the self-actualization level. They have been programmed for success. And that's really what I did as a high school coach, is they would come to me with some knowledge, some skill, some desire, some confidence. And I would put them through what I called the greatness factory back in those days. And we would manufacture their potential, just like a factory. We would help them produce at the highest possible levels. And that's what I do today.
I love that, man. So what was it like shifting from working with kids and coaching sports teams to working with these big companies and helping them do everything that they do?
You know, what I quickly figured out was that companies did not have the persistence and intensity that athletes had. As an athletic coach, there's a game every Tuesday, Friday. There's a competition. There's a competitor. There's a nemesis. There's an intensity. There's a pressure. And business people lack that. They operate at a slow frequency. They do not have the intensity or persistence that the athlete has. So, you know, it was an adjustment for me, because many times the kids were tougher than the adults were, just to be honest with you. And not that I tempered it some, but maybe early in my coaching business people career, I did temper my prey drive some, but I've unleashed it, man. I just said, to hell with it. I'm going to be who I'm supposed to be. And I'm supposed to be this guy that teaches people how to play at a high level. I'm not sheltering or holding back who I am or how I can help people. The people who want to play at the highest levels will hire me to be their coach. The people that want to play at local levels or small levels will not. They'll continue to contract.
Awesome, man. So what I'm hearing is that that prey drive is that willingness to go after everything that you're trying to do.
Prey drive is the instinct to think it in the mind or see it with the eyes and have the persistence and intensity to pursue it. So prey drive is in every person. It may be latent. It may be undeveloped. It may have gone dormant. It may be complacent, or maybe it's never been activated. In many people, it has never been activated. My wife was one of those people. At 30 years old, her prey drive had not been activated. She came to one of my boot camps. Her company paid for her to come to one of my boot camps, and her prey drive was activated. So it's not because people don't want to activate it. They just don't know. They don't know any better. They just go along about their life, operating at a low frequency, having some moderate level of success. And then somebody comes into their life and exposes them to something bigger. And then it's on.
Awesome, man. So what are the first steps to activating that prey drive if maybe it hasn't been activated yet?
It's typically activated by an external factor. Although prey drive is in you, it is typically always activated by something external from you, meaning you see something, you experience something, you get rejected, you have a fear, you get embarrassed. For example, many people believe that when Donald Trump made a decision to run for president was the night that President Obama embarrassed him at the correspondent dinner. And it was that night that he said, I'm going to run for president and become president of the United States. That activated his prey drive. Embarrassment is an activator of prey drive. Michael Jordan, when you watch The Last Dance, almost always played better after losing. When someone slighted him, when there was a competitor, when he was sick. So typically it's some external factor that flips the switch in you that causes you to want to do something bigger. And really, to be honest with you, many times it's conflict. Conflict is actually necessary for expansion. When we have conflict, we play at unordinary levels. We play at very high frequencies. We find another gear. It's the old woman that can pick a car up when a kid is in danger. It's the person that tells you you'll never be anything in life. It's the person that screws you over hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's the person that tells you never be worth anything. These things actually can be used to activate your prey drive.
Awesome, man. So my next question is, what is confidence to you, and is that connected to prey drive?
Confidence is the memory of success. It is an internal knowing that you can create or manifest what you see in your mind, even when other people don't think you can. Confidence is the spirit's need. There's a direct correlation between confidence and faith, confidence and belief in something. So prey drive is entirely tied up in confidence, because without confidence, you have a drive, you have an instinct to pursue something, but you don't have the guts to pursue it. And you really need a lot of guts to do something big in the world. And that's confidence. Confidence is the memory of success. I'm confident in my ability to build greatness factories. I'm confident in my ability to get results for people. I'm confident in my ability to write books because I've done it for so many years. I have a contagious confidence. And I have the ability to pick up people and make a phone call without being afraid to talk to them, without being afraid of rejection, without being afraid of a hesitation they might have. And that's confidence.
Awesome, man. So you've shared a lot of stages with incredible people. You know some of the most incredible people. How do you go about building up your network and getting around these people?
Most people think building a network starts by just connecting to people, but you could connect to people all day long and not build a network because you don't have anything of value to offer people. Building a network starts with having something valuable that other people want. I write about this in a book called Person of Interest. When you become a person of interest, you have ingredients, knowledge, skill, desire, confidence, likability, connectivity, energy, networks. People want access to that. People want to be part of that. They are attracted to you. So yesterday I was texting with Tim Story, Marshall Silver, Sam Taggart. It's not uncommon for me to text weekly with Brad Lee, Tim Grover, Grant Cardone. These are people that see some kind of value in me because of my skill set. I've brought them some value in their life. Therefore, many times I'm doing events with these people or partnerships with these people or something, but you got to have something, man, that they see, or you're just another person trying to, you know, latch on to their success.
Awesome, man. So when I was looking at your website, when you were 25, your knowledge of building competitive intelligence kind of helped you build a name. Like, what is competitive intelligence? That really stood out to me.
Yeah, think of it like this. It's a great question, by the way. And I don't know if anybody's ever asked me that question in all the podcasts I've ever done. Think of it like this. There is an IQ. That's intellect quotient. Okay. And that's what we get measured on our whole life. But it's actually a very poor indicator of success. You know, it's not that you can be just a complete moron and be successful, but you don't typically win on just IQ. There's a lot of people who are smarter than me. Okay. But I have a deep competitive intelligence. I know how to win. I know how to find a way. I know how to bounce back. I have a high emotional IQ, which is the ability to regulate my emotion, the ability to connect with other people, the ability to have a mindset of winning. And I would wrap all of that up into a competitive intelligence, man. Tom Brady's got a competitive intelligence. He may not be the best athlete. He may not be the smartest person in the world, but the dude knows how to win. And at the end of the day, that is the best intelligence in a competitive world. It's how do you teach your kids to figure out how to win, man, against all odds, to figure out a way to make it work. That is competitive intelligence. And so what I do as a coach is I build this advantage. I'm coaching a 21, 22, 23-year-old in Scottsdale, Arizona. I know that by coaching him and me giving him what I've learned over 28 years and transmuting that to him, he's going to have an advantage over other 22-year-olds, man. He's going to have an advantage by being coached by me, a competitive advantage. You know, I was doing this on other earlier podcasts. When I was 15 years old, I was part of an honor society. I wasn't the smartest kid, but I was smart enough to get in honor society. And I ran for a national office, which means I had to compete against other people, and I won. And one of the things they did as winning is I got to go to this leadership academy for a week. And I was the only kid in my whole school that got to go. And so for 1 week, I went away. I stayed with other kids. I was in deep leadership studies all day long. And when I came home, man, I had a leg up. I had an advantage over the other kids. I had been exposed to things they had been exposed to. Now, fast forward to when I'm 44 years old, how did that give me an advantage? That gave me a tremendous advantage over those other kids, man. I knew something they didn't know. I'd been exposed to something they'd never been exposed to. You know, I saw something they didn't see. So at 44, man, I got started earlier than other people. That's competitive advantage. That's competitive intelligence.
Beautiful, man. So what kind of habits do you have that you do on a regular basis that helps you maintain the competitive advantage, your prey drive, and keep your confidence up and all that?
You know, the habits I have is a daily habit. Pray drive has to be activated every day because I wake up just like you do sometimes. I wake up and my feelings try to tell me something. I wake up and I may be tired or fatigued, which is a mental state, physical state. So I go to work on my pray drive like this. I'm a faith-based person, so I listen to something spiritual first thing every morning when I get up, typically a 20-minute sermon. I then physically work out some type of exercise. This morning it was outside, long walk, stop and do X number of push-ups and squats, freezing cold. I typically work out with a gym, but this morning I didn't. I then go home and see my family, my wife and two kids. That activates my emotional pray drive. And then I listen to something on business. Sometimes it's just 5 minutes. This morning I listened to the same clip maybe five or six times. It was a 6 minute clip. And then my pray drive is activated. That's a daily habit I have. Now notice what I'm doing here. I'm feeding the body, the mind, the heart, and the spirit. I'm feeding all four parts of my nature. By 8 a.m. So when I show up at work, man, I don't need coffee. I don't need to get jacked up. I don't need somebody to motivate me. I am already motivated. I am already ready to play at a high frequency. I am already ready to go when I show up every day. That's not how most people show up, man. They show up and they got to drink seven cups of coffee and talk to everybody. And to me, I'm a person of action. I'm in the business to run a business, to generate revenue for the business so the business can grow.
100%. So you've written a bunch of books at this point. There's a lot of entrepreneurs in my audience that they want to write a book, but it seems daunting, overwhelming. At this point on book 17, like, what have you learned, like, to simplify that process and get them and make it happen?
What's interesting you ask, because I actually started a publishing division called Monster Publishing. We've published probably, or in the process of publishing, 20 to 30 books right now. I started in March because so many people came to me because they wanted to write a book and they didn't know how. And I had written, 16. I'm writing number 17. Writing a book is a labor of love. Like, it's a process. You got to really want to do it. You got to do it right or the book sucks. You know, I typically go away somewhere inspirational, mountains, water, secluded. And I get in a rhythm, man. And I go there with an intention to get inspired. And I do not force myself to write. Professional writers write every day. Stephen King writes every day. John Grisham writes every day. But I'm a coach. So I'm a coach that writes books and speaks. So for me, I go somewhere inspirational. I take a notepad. I've already probably outlined most of the book. I typically write it in, seven chapters. I have three ways to manifest, or three ways to articulate each chapter, three supporting points. And I just go somewhere and take a notepad with me, get into an inspired state. I may exercise. I may listen to podcasts. I may take a walk on the beach. Sometimes I go to a bar and just sit there and have a drink and listen to a musician and then kind of get into a creative state. And then I may work on the book for 24 straight hours. Like, I just get in a rhythm and I just go until I'm tired and the writing is not that good. And then I take a break. And then I rest, and then I go through the whole cycle again. And I've written books in a day. I've written books in 2 years. It just really depends on what kind of rhythm. The new book I'm writing on Pray Drive is published by McGraw-Hill, which is a major publisher. And I've got a deadline of May 31st on that book. So I got to go into the woods and I write it, and I got to get into a creative, and I got to pump that puppy out. But I've already spoken on it so many times. I'm going so deep on the concept that it's very natural to me. Now it's a matter of expanding, telling stories, touching the reader in a different way, improving my writing. That's what it's about today.
Awesome, man. Can you possibly give a little bit of feedback on getting a publishing deal over going through the self-publishing process?
Yeah, getting a publishing deal has to do with how many followers you have. It has to do with what kind of credibility indicators you have. It has to do with finding an agent. It has to do with the agent brokering a deal. It has to do with a track record of success. I've had three publishing deals, one through Wiley, one through Simon & Schuster, and one through McGraw-Hill. And the first one I got because I had an agent I knew a person that knew one of the top agents in the country. She took us on. We signed a first-time author deal. We were in all the bookstores and airports. I learned a lot of valuable lessons. Then I came back and wrote a book through a smaller publisher, learned a lot of valuable lessons. Then went out into the world, became more known, developed a bigger following, had a deeper message, spoke on big stages. Then through an agent in New York, brokered a deal with McGraw-Hill. So it's not easy, but it's not rocket science. It's finding an agent that believes in you and then having the agent broker the deal. Now, when you sign a major publishing deal, you're signing rights over to the publisher. You are then collecting a royalty. You are then saying this book is yours. You can do with it what you want. You can put it in the bookstores the way you want. You can change the title if you want. If you self-publish, I self-published a book earlier this year that we used to drive to generate 3,000 leads and generate $100,000 of coaching income in 90 days. That could never happen with a major published deal. A major published deal is typically a two-year cycle. You know, there's a writing period, there's an editing period, there's a promotional period, then there's a launch period. I mean, it's typically 2 years. Like I could write Prey Drive and be done May 31st if I self-published it and have that puppy out, you know, in 90 days. With a major publisher, it's going to come out in 2022 because there's certain cycles that books come out. So there's benefits to major publishing deals and there's detriments. Like if you want to see your book in airports and bookstores, you're not going to be able to self-publish and do that. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on a Barnes and Nobles online, but you can never get it in an airport or a major bookstore because they only take on published books.
That's very interesting. I don't know much about the actual working with publishers and all that. So it's definitely kind of interesting to find out that they have those long of timelines. I mean, they're book publishers. They get paid to sell books and publish books. You'd think they'd want to get them out in a quick time frame.
Well, they're really, yeah, that is true. But they're really, there's a place for publishing. Right. They assign a person to work with me, an editor. They have graphic designers. They have a distribution channel, you know, but they're not really in the promotion. They want you to sell a lot of copies because they're going to benefit from it. But, you know, you really need a big audience. This is why people that are on television have bestsellers. This is why former presidents sell out books, because they've got huge audiences. And they've got direct people who will buy from them. If you've got a smaller audience, it's very hard to make money. I make a lot of my money through coaching assignments, coaching agreements. So I speak, I sell the book when I speak, but the real money is made from the coaching, right? Where, you know, I go speak and X number of people sign up for my coaching programs, or I get higher paying members, or whatever the case may be.
Awesome, man. So you've got the Monster Growth Program. Can you tell us what that is and like the main things that you cover in that?
Yeah, there's six common missing structures that most businesses have. They don't know how to activate their Prey Drive. They don't have an explanation of service. They don't know how to generate leads through a selling system. They don't follow up appropriately. They don't extract referrals from their current book of business. And they don't know how to become people of interest. The Monster Coaching Program solves those problems. It's a one-year cycle, weekly access to me. I'm coaching about 600 plus people at one time. They get access to replays, but it's a live. They could come sit in the room live with me and get coached that way, or they could watch it virtually. It's at $14.97. So today you could buy that program for a year. You could get a year's worth of coaching from me and a 2-day boot camp at my lodge in Tennessee, which is a big lodge, for under $1,500. I mean, it's a no-brainer for people if they're serious about getting better.
Awesome, man. Well, that is definitely the main things that everybody needs and what most businesses are really lacking. So if somebody is sitting on the other side of this podcast listening to us talk and they want to jump into your program, but maybe they don't have $1,500, like what recommendations would you have for them to go out there, attract the client, close that client, and then get that $1,500 so they can go jump into your program?
Well, I do lots of webinar for people to see me. I do a lot of stuff on YouTube, hours. I just did two podcasts today. You know, all of my shows are under America's Coach, under you know, iTunes, Spotify, all those things. All of my shows, whether it be Flip the Switch, Person of Interest, Super Coach. You know, I think people, if they like what they heard today, they can go build an affinity with me and see my coaching style, see how I work with people, see how I bring structure to the equation, see how I coach people. And then, you know, they can sign up. I mean, I have $99 a month programs. I have books that are $9.99 on my website. I have replays and intensives. I have audios. I mean, there's all kinds of places a place a person could start if they want to get better.
Well, man, you dropped so much value on this interview. I do want to ask, I ask everybody that comes on this show, if you could go back and have a conversation with yourself before you ever started any one of your businesses, before you started coaching people, before you started doing what you do now, what would you make sure that you knew and understood?
How hard it's going to be to do something big in the world. How much resistance and opposition you're going to get when you try to do extraordinary things. I think that's something you need to know. How much money it's going to take to really do something big, man, in today's world. How much you really need to do something big. I think that's one of the biggest things I would tell myself, is whatever you planned on, plan more. Ever how much money you thought you needed, multiply it. Ever how much resistance you thought you were going to get, amplify it. You know, and I don't know how you tell a young person that. They typically just have to experience it, but it's going to be a fight, but you're going to find a way to win. That's what I would tell myself.
100%, man. I love that answer. And it's kind of fascinating. I interview a lot of very successful people on this show, and that tends to be just a recurring theme, is that it's going to take longer. It's not going to happen overnight. And I was actually talking about it with someone else this morning, that we jump into entrepreneurship and we expect this instant gratification of we're going to hit six figures. We're going to get our $10,000 a month. And then we're going to go from that six figures to seven figures. Like, yeah. And then they get all excited. They get sold this dream, and then they just get overwhelmed when it doesn't really happen like that. So if we can set that expectation for ourselves ahead of time, then we're going to get a lot farther. And one thing that someone said to me a while back is that if we could change it overnight, if we could build that beautiful empire overnight, then that empire and whatever we change could just go back to whatever it was overnight as well. And we don't actually want that to happen.
Yeah, I think that's where the prey drive comes in, man. Very few, a lot of people start the race, but very few finish the race. And that's, you know, X number of teams start out to win a Super Bowl. Only one team wins a Super Bowl. And it ain't always the best teams, by the way. It's the teams that have the most grit, the most drive, the most determination. And I think that's a lesson for people.
Absolutely, man. So before you go, I do want to ask, Clubhouse is kind of the new hot thing. Are you spending any time on there?
You know, not enough. I'm sure people would tell me not enough. I am so fanatical about my time that it's hard for me to just get on there and just stay on there for long cycles of time and listen to people. Some people are qualified. The only negative I have to say about Clubhouse is kind of what my buddy Steve Sims said. You know, just because you can talk on Clubhouse don't mean you need to. You know, I think, you know, I get my attention span is so small that if I get on there and hear one or two people that just drag on about something, I'm just like, man, I'm out. I can't do this. But I need to be using it more for my business. And that's a commitment. You know, I need to be moderating more rooms. I need to be talking about Prey Drive more. I need to be doing things with my monster producers. And I know we need more people. So some things you just got to suck up, man, and do.
100%, man. Well, we are, we did get approved recently for a virtually limitless club. And so if you'd like to come in and talk about Prey Drive one of these Wednesdays, we're hosting it's called Automated Income Secrets. We're doing it every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Time. We'd love to have you jump in and talk about Prey Drive and just provide some value wherever you can, man.
Yeah, that'd be good. If you will reach out to me, let me get a good Wednesday and reach out to me. Let me schedule it. I'd be happy to jump on there and do that.
Awesome, my man. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I know you kind of touched on it before, but what's the best way for people to go get involved with you?
I think they can go to coachburt.com, B-U-R-T. Follow up with me, email me, DM me on Instagram, reach out to me, and just let me know, man, you're interested in your potential. And if you are, we'll find the right program for you. Don't worry about the money. We'll find a program that fits your budget. I just want to get people started.
Awesome, man. It's all about helping people.
100%. You help enough people, you make enough money.
You help enough people, you make enough money. Let's drop the mic on that one, my man.
Boom. All right, brother. Have a good day. Thank you for having me.
You too, brother.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.